Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and our Mouse Chatters today are Bob and Chris, and we have special guest fanboys Tom. Nice.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah, let me just try that all over again.
You've just been waiting to play that one, haven't you, Tim? Tom.
I love Family Guy.
I don't have the I'm drunk drop from Anchorman. That's unfortunate. Drunk, I'm drunk.
Okay. Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and our Mouse Chatters today are Bob and Chris, and we have special guest fanboys, Tim and Brett. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hey.
Good.
Is Tom going to join us today?
No, Tom couldn't make it.
That's too bad.
Yeah. On today's show, we're going to be doing a listener question show, and Tim and Brett are going to join us in answering these. Hopefully, they won't offend anyone. Hint, hint.
I make no promises.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Oh, this is always death.
You can edit this, right?
Yeah, we can edit this.
Okay.
But we'll
then you're good.
This in. Yes. So our first question comes from Robert. And Robert.
Oh, no, you got to say his whole name.
No.
Can you pronounce his whole name?
Well, I don't know if we should say last names.
Well, I didn't think you could pronounce it. That's why I said.
Oh, I was going to say Verstegen.
Okay. I don't know how to pronounce it either, so I'll just give it to you.
But now we have to edit that out. So.
Not necessarily.
And circle gets the square.
You could have pronounced it wrong, and then it's fine.
Okay. Well, our first listener question is from Robert.
Also, too, Verstegen is like Smith, whatever country he's from.
I think it's French.
I was going to say with Norway, Norwegian.
His email came with a beret.
Did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he writes, I'd like to know the truth of the DVC expansions to Wilderness Lodge and Polynesian, as well as the renovation demolition of Polynesian. What are the timelines for these? Thanks, love your show. So, who wants to jump in on this? I know Chris is always well informed on what's going on with DVC. But Bob's into demolition for some reason.
They've never officially announced anything, so there's no timelines.
Yet.
I'm sorry?
They haven't announced a contemporary DVC yet.
Well, I mean, you know, the one thing they did do differently with Grand Floridian is they actually announced it. So, you know,
right. Yeah,
that
still
is
calling, they're still insisting that Bay Lake Tower is a Target store.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, they haven't said anything official, and I don't think there's anything out there. And the Fort Wilderness one is just even more, I think, of a rumor than the Bali. Or did you say Fort Wilderness? Wilderness Lodge already has a DVC, right?
Yeah. No,
there's a DVC rumor for Fort Wilderness, right?
It's right.
Probably what Robert meant.
Yeah.
So let's go with that. I've heard more about Polynesian. I haven't heard anything about Fort Wilderness. But.
Right. I mean, we know that there's probably next year going to be a big, or is it 2014, I'm not sure, like a really big refurb over there, but nobody knows if it's part of DVC. But the way DVC works is generally they have to have new properties every 3 years for it to work. So they're going to if they close out on Bay Lake Tower, which I guess they're fairly close to, and then they start selling Grand Floridian, they're still not going to have anything for multiple years.
Selling Aulani too, and they still have Kadani Village sitting as well.
Right. I mean, they'll always have some open properties, but I guess the way it works number-wise is you have to have a new property every 3 years for it to be really profitable for them. So,
now, where's the Grand Floridian DVCs going?
Do you know, it's right next to the Wedding Pavilion.
I was told those were new restrooms.
Yeah, they are. They're new restrooms.
Okay.
Giant restrooms.
Yes.
From the Magic Kingdom.
have you seen the plans for that? So it's fairly big. It's like 5 or 6 stories high.
Anyone?
Initially, the elevation was actually a little bit higher than the main building. I don't know if that's true or not, but so.
What's going on? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, so if you follow that 3-year plan and the Grand Floridian construction's not even going to be done till I think, what, late 2013? I think is what they're shooting
yeah,
for?
Yeah, I think so. And they can't even start selling it till a certain percentage of
right.
that property.
Right, so you're at least looking at, before we see anything, and I think it's only a matter of time before you do see stuff at the Polynesian because, you know, Monorail Resort DVC is popular, and the Polynesian is hugely popular with guests, but I wouldn't expect that for probably 5 years minimum until you actually saw something.
I think refurbishment to the Polynesian is coming a lot sooner than you guys think.
Yeah, and there refurbishment, yeah. What have you heard?
It's not even so much heard as seen plans of. With the Poly, they are essentially doing teardown and rebuilds of everything. Not total teardown to the foundation, mind you, but like going in, getting rid of old HVAC systems, getting rid of asbestos and things like that for pretty much every one of the longhouses and all of that stuff. And I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen as early as next year, where they're going to do it piecemeal. They need to take rooms offline because, frankly, they're not selling rooms. And if they've got, they need to have 80% occupancy to make it look good. So if they take, you know, 600 rooms offline at the Poly to redo them, then they can get close to that 80% number. But I think you're right saying that every 3 years is really the model that they go for with these DVCs because they we're recording the show like a week or so after they reported the third quarter earnings. Those numbers are very inflated based on DVC and cruise ships. And the DVCs are a very quick return on their investment. You can see very, very early on because the major purchase happens pretty much right after it opens. So the people that, you know, the pencil pushers are the ones that love these DVCs. They make the resorts look a lot better than they really are. And even if there's nothing truly in the works for Wilderness Lodge, Fort Wilderness, or Polynesian, there's stuff in the works because it's a no-brainer for them. I mean, they sell. For some reason, people are still spending $40,000 to get these DVC properties. So as long as that keeps happening, they'll keep making them.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, Polynesian is wildly popular, but I remember a few months ago they were flying what appeared to be sight balloons over the Polynesian. You remember that story? I remember seeing pictures.
Yeah.
But maybe that was more – I mean, generally that's done for – construction purposes, but maybe that's more for demolition remodel purposes.
Possibly.
in this case.
Yeah. The plans that I've seen did not indicate that it was for DVC, but I can only assume that DVC is coming to the Polynesian eventually.
I think that's a fair assessment, and it'll definitely sell when it does, but I've got to believe that's 4 or 5 years out at least.
But, I mean, those sight balloons probably lend to what it's going to be, but they'll do those sight balloons, and it costs them something, but it doesn't really cost them much to do that. And, I mean, they did them for Camp Minnie Mickey not so long ago either, and it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to have announced plans for Avatar tomorrow. So it's just a matter of, all right, this is what they're considering, how high up can we go, where can we see these things, and do we need to tweak our plans? I mean, they could be doing sight balloon testing on something that's a blue sky project. I mean, I can't imagine that that's exactly there's not a huge science to it. They just need to know if something is 150 feet in the air, can we see it from this location? And that's very early on in the development process. So, I mean, that's well before budgets are approved.
Hmm.
I think they need to be careful how much they put up around Seven Seas Lagoon because it's sort of a beautiful area. I'd really hate to have too much going on over there. I'm sort of worried about the Grand Floridian DVC and how that's going to look when it's done. I mean, the Grand Floridian, to me, I think is a really beautiful building in general. So maybe, you know, in addition to that, we'll be fine, although I do think it kind of mars the way the Wedding Pavilion looks. But when you start adding things to the Poly, which I think sort of works as a more short, squat kind of building style, I think that could really ruin the look of the whole resort from the water as you come up to it and those, you know, shuttle launches or whatever, which is sort of a minor thing, but I don't know. I like it. I kind of like it the way it is.
Well, the,
you know,
well,
if they,
the,
If they went in that cast member parking lot, if you know the parking lot at the Poly, if they put a higher building in that cast member parking lot area with a parking garage down to the bottom, kind of like they did at Kidani, I could see that working very well. You know, it wouldn't be far from anything. It just would be sort of off in the back. I think that would work. But if they do something in the front, that's going to look bad.
Well, the other option, of course, is to gut some of the longhouses and convert some of the longhouses into DVC.
Yeah. I don't know how much you could put there, though. I mean, what's the capacity at the Poly? How many rooms? People know that at the top of their head, right? Maybe 500?
Yeah, let's say. Off the top of my head, I have no idea, yeah. I'm not that good, Chris. I mean,
you know, some places I do know, but not the Poly. It's not my favorite, so I don't feel the need to memorize the stats.
847.
847 rooms, so... And that resort is almost always full. I'm trying to think, you know, have I ever looked for the Poly and not been able to get anything? Maybe not really.
It's hard to say whether it's always full because it's always busy when you're in there because there's constant traffic for Ohana and Kona.
So if it stays at 80%, what's 80% of however many rooms? 840, did you say?
I was told there was no math.
So.
Yeah.
847 times 0.8 equals 677.6.
Yep.
So you could devote 200 of those rooms to DVC, but then they'd have to be bigger spaces than that. So, I don't know. It'd be an incredibly small DVC expansion.
You could also add a second floor to those longhouses, too.
Okay.
I mean, there's still room there, but...
Well, and somebody said that there was always a problem with how marshy that land is.
I think that's just a rumor, much like the excuse for Horizons going away. I don't think there's much of any truth to that.
Well, wasn't that the reason, though? I mean, that's always been the story behind the Contemporary having the wings on the sides, was that, you know, the ground was very marshy, so when they started adding...
I mean, everywhere in Florida is a marsh.
Right, but I guess when they started adding so many floors, it started to sink into the ground, and it got to the point where,
they don't have any high-rises.
Right. So let's not continue with this. So the Contemporary was going to be taller than it actually is, and those wings were actually a couple floors that were left off. So,
I've heard people say that, and then I've heard it somewhat discredited, so I don't really know what to believe there, but...
Well, I think it's interesting that, I mean, I think that the real answer is that you can expect if Disney can do it and they can make money off of it, it's going to happen. And DVC is a huge cash cow because they have nothing to lose. You know, they can sell DVC very easily with sort of, you know, hasty financing. People make a quick decision. If those people back out 2 years later and don't want their DVC, Disney loses nothing. It's a brilliant marketing idea. I don't want to call it a scheme, but I mean, it really is. And for some people, it really works. So to own it.
Yeah. I mean, it is win-win for Disney because, you know, they get people in and then you're guaranteeing, you know, vacations from these people for years and years and years to come. And ultimately, you know, Disney still owns the property.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's, you know, you're not buying a lifetime into it. So yeah, it's
which is
it's
totally weird. That is totally weird.
Yeah,
but like I guess
strange.
Other timeshares you own it and it's yours, whereas with Disney you just have a contracted period of years, which to me seems kind of strange. Even though, you know, some of those contracts are like 2060, so it's not like, you know, it's a major issue, but still.
So yeah, I mean, bottom line, and we've kind of gone the long way around Robert's question here, but yeah, do I think there's truth to the Polynesian DVC? I think we can all agree that, yeah, they're probably going to do it, but not for years from now. And if that's a success and people still buy, then yeah, I mean, why not Fort Wilderness or Wilderness Lodge, you know, an expansion? And I think he really did mean Fort Wilderness.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
What's going to happen in the next 10 years? What is more likely, Polynesian DVC or World of Avatar?
Polynesian DVC.
Yeah.
I think at some point you're going to see Avatar go away. I still think it's going away.
Or it'll be scaled way down.
Yeah.
I think at this point it's probably going to get built, but I think there's still so many possible hiccups that could run into it.
Yeah.
Whereas they know that a Polynesian DVC is going to sell.
Right. Mm-hmm. Go where the money is, sure. Yeah. Okay.
I'd rather see a Cars Land at Hollywood Studios.
Since Chris, you actually brought it up, I had a question of my own that I kind of wanted to throw out there.
Oh, Bob, ask your question.
Well, because I'm kind of curious. I realize I'm not a listener, but I think it's good in a group setting with all of these.
I don't listen to the show.
You should listen to the food one we just put out today, Bob.
To the show because I sound like Fozzie Bear. So
I'm not going
to
say that, but
not a fan of the men on the show.
but yeah. So, but my question is, since you brought up Cars Land and whatnot, I'm sure all of you have heard that Kathy Magnum, the lead Imagineer for Cars Land, was recently, I guess, promoted to Walt Disney World, transferred over to Walt Disney World, and basically put in charge of overseeing.
They wanted to put a layer of competence between the Imagineers and Meg Crofton. Right. That's essentially what it is.
Well, I mean, so two-part question. I mean, do you think this means that, you know, we will eventually see a Cars Land in Hollywood Studios, first of all?
No.
And second part, what do you think this means overall for the Walt Disney parks?
I don't think you're going to see a Cars Land out in Disney World. I wish, but I don't think you're going to. Why would they build the same exact attraction on that scale?
Because history repeats itself.
But you might see a refurb of like Test Track or something someday like that. But I don't think you're going to Radiator.
Well, they're redoing Test Track now, so.
Right. But I mean, that's why I said someday. But what I'm saying is I don't think you're going to see something on that scale repeated in Walt Disney World.
Okay, I think it's wasteful.
What do you think? And I would agree. I don't think we need a Cars Land out in Hollywood Studios. I kind of like it out in California. I mean, first of all, people in California are closer to Route 66. I think it works out there. I think it's a big draw, and it's a great thing for California Adventure. But then what does her transfer / promotion to Walt Disney World mean in your opinion? You know, for Walt Disney World, I mean,
I think it means that they're putting a trusted supervisor of a project that was, by all accounts, excellent over in Florida, where someone like that is needed. You can look at the Imagineers that are in Florida, and, I mean, most people consider Joe Rohde to be a pretty well-respected Imagineer. They consider Eric Jacobson to be a pretty well-respected Imagineer, but they don't really have a face to put on it. California, you have a lot more people that are willing to put their face on an addition, like John Lasseter or Tony Baxter. And while Joe Rohde is that person, Eric Jacobson certainly isn't, and he's the one that oversees the studios. The studios is likely where money is going to go, whether that's in the form of Cars Land or something else. I don't think that Kathy Mangum is limited in ability just to oversee the creation of another Cars Land. I think she's more than capable of doing really anything that they give her a budget for. And if the budget that we've been hearing, I'm sure you guys have heard numbers that are $500 million and up. I mean, when you're given that level of a budget, you can do some good things. And people have criticized Kathy Mangum for Journey into Your Imagination and The Seas with Nemo and Friends, which she oversaw, but she was trying to put a Band-Aid on a problem in the Imagination Pavilion, and she had about $12 to do it. And with The Seas with Nemo and Friends, they were told, all right, the mermaid overlay on this is dead. The Seas is a more recent project, so you're going to do that. And again, same thing, you know, no budget. I think that any one of the top Imagineers in the company, when given a budget, can do great things. So yeah. That's what I'm optimistic about. And yeah, it could have been any of the top Imagineers coming over, not just Kathy.
Yeah, and
I'm going to personally do this with her.
Well, no, I mean, you kind of hit on what I was thinking, that, you know, what this means for the Walt Disney World really depends on how much, you know, authority they're going to give her and how much money they're going to be willing to give her. Because I've heard Jim Hill say on other podcasts that, you know, Imagineers have already tossed out a pretty I don't know if aggressive is the right word, but a pretty
ambitious,
exactly, or project for Hollywood Studios of things that they want to do in the park, and, you know, with an estimated price tag of around $500 million, and we're basically told, yeah, now see if you can do it for a lot less.
Right.
You know?
And that's the executives over in Orlando that hopefully when Iger steps down, they go with him, and a substantial reworking of the corporate structure happens. But what they're seeing is, or the Orlando Resort has existed for the last, well, you could argue 20 years, but really the last 10, on inflating prices and then offering discounts and adding as little as possible in terms of major expansion. And the result was fine for a while until Comcast bought Universal and started investing into those parks. And now they're seeing the biggest hit to their market share that they've ever seen. And that's a problem, and the people in Orlando that are in charge right now don't really know how to react to that, because all they've done for the last 10 years is raise prices and offer discounts, which can work for a while, but if people aren't seeing the value, that well of first-time visitors dries up eventually. So they recognize that they need to add something to the parks. They see how successful Cars Land is. These people aren't Imagineers. These people aren't particularly creative. So they're going to the shiny new toy that's out in California. That's what they want, because they understand that. Imagineering could pitch them something incredible based on another franchise or something completely original, and it could be as successful, if not more successful, than Cars Land. But they don't understand that because it's an unknown to them. So I'm hoping that it's something other than Cars Land.
I think I am too.
It damages California if they do that.
I agree. It totally would. And that Cars Land makes that so special. You know, I mean, that was my first trip to Disneyland. We just took a couple weeks ago, but I mean, it was amazing. And I can't even imagine California Adventure without Cars Land.
That's a great park now.
Yeah,
it's a legitimately
really is.
Great park now. I mean, we had this debate on our last live show where the stateside parks would rank, and I would say right now California Adventure is definitively better than Hollywood Studios. Most people would say it's better than the Animal Kingdom. I have a unhealthy obsession with that park, so that doesn't really count. But I would say that you can make a case that it is the second or third best park in this country.
Yeah, it's done well. I mean, I never thought California Adventure was a bad park per se, but it needed something, and it found that in Cars Land and in Buena Vista Street.
It always had a good attraction lineup, but those two things brought a cohesive theme to it. The little touches to Paradise Pier made that area look a lot less tacky, and I think the beautification of California Adventure from when it first opened and from when this project started, it's like night and day. And, I mean, when you're talking about things you want to see come over, you don't hear about it as much because Cars Land just opened up. I'd love to see something involving World of Color come over. I mean, to me, that intrigues me so much more than bringing Cars Land over, because it doesn't have to be a direct lift, but something...
No, but new shows, definitely new shows. You know, nighttime shows, I think, would be great. But, okay, I was just curious of your thoughts. I know I pulled you guys off track of our questions, so
we've got one question down and 30 minutes into the show.
Can they answer questions like we do?
I've got 2, 4, 6, 8 questions, so this is going to be a 4-hour show?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, some of these are easy. We can bang them out.
Yeah, the next one we're going to bang out real quick.
Yeah.
This one comes from Jennifer. And she writes, how come I can't book a regular non-family suite room at Art of Animation for October 27th, 2012?
It sounds like a you problem. Let's go, Sorks!
Because, I mean, she's talking about Little Mermaid, right? Those are just booked for the next few months after they open. I mean, there's some that show up here and there, but, I mean, overall, you know, that's people, like, I have clients who are like, you know what, I don't care that I can't get free dining there. Let's do it. And they're really hung up on it. I'm like, but you can save $500. And they don't care. They want to go to Little Mermaid because it's new and it's exciting and it's the least expensive way you can get into Little Mermaid or to Art of Animation, which is a really extraordinary resort if you haven't been there yet. So,
Jim Hill, what do you think of that?
Tourists are stupid.
I don't think they're stupid. I don't think they're stupid. I think they're just willing to, you know, to not get free dining. You know, you can see, it used to be when free dining would come out, Pop would be sold out. Right, really very quickly. And now you can get it because people are sort of saying, you know, what the heck, we're going to stay at Little Mermaid. So
how about you stay at Pop Century point. And then walk across the bridge?
Right, but you can't use the pools. I mean, but you can use all the other amenities. There is a playground the kids can play at the Lion King area. But, you know, the pools are pretty enticing. And I can see lots of tears when they can't go in that Nemo or that Cars pool.
Why can't you just walk over?
You mean you can walk over, but you can't use the pools because you have to have an RFID card.
Oh, they did that with the,
yes,
the new resort?
They did.
Really?
Yes, they did. Yeah.
You know, 6 months ago, they were actually telling us to tell clients, you know, your people who are staying at Pop, they can swim at Art of Animation, and they changed that. So
you have to keep your room key in your pocket, and the water will electrocute you. If you aren't authorized to be in that pool.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah, they've actually put piranhas in the water, and they're specially trained to detect people who are not Art of Animation guests.
Have you guys stayed there yet? Have you been there yet?
No, I don't know if we'll be able to walk around in September. I know that when we're there in January, we'll have more time, and we'll definitely want to walk around there.
It is. I think it's one of the best things Disney and Walt Disney World, at least. I think it's one of the best things they've done in a very long time. I mean, it's exactly what people need. It's suites where you can put six people in because there are, you know, people who do have bigger families. It's just incredibly well-themed. The food court was really good.
Aren't the prices still a little steep, though, relative
they're
to
steep. Well,
what
they're
calling
as a
value?
Well,
they're a deal. You got to play it right.
Right, and they're
and
only
I know
they're
already discounting it, but
also too, starting off, they're going to be expensive.
They're only a tiny bit more per night. I think, Lisa, did you say that Little Mermaid's $5? Yeah, so it's $5 more per night than Pop, and I don't think there's that much of a difference between the All Star Music Suites and Art of Animation Suites, which frankly, you couldn't get me to stay in All Star Music at this point. So,
right. Admittedly, yeah. I've only go ahead, Bob.
No, I was going to say, but yeah, to answer. To answer this person, yeah, Chris is exactly right. She can't book these suites. I mean, I don't know if she's trying to book free dining with it. That could be the issue there, but likely not. It's just the demand is just so high, and that's why because the resort is just so popular because it's so well done.
I can't tell you how many times I've had people say, "Let's just do Little Mermaid. I don't care about the discount." And I've gone and looked, and it's still not available.
Yeah, but I think that is something that people book, even if they're on the fence, just because it is so hard to get. And if you do check back, you may find availability.
That's good to know.
I think so. I mean, it's just a labor of love. You need to keep checking back. But it's not that. I mean, the suites the non suites, the Little Mermaid rooms are obviously open, but for your dates of travel, but. It's just availability, and people are loving it. Loving it.
Do you think that they're going to offer? Okay, so they didn't offer free dining for Little Mermaid for the fall. Do you think for January through March they'll offer it, or do you think
not if it's this popular?
They don't need to.
Yeah.
I know they're getting complaints, but I don't think they're gonna have to cave.
Oh, I don't think they care if they're getting complaints.
Yeah, they.
Because they're booking it anyway, means
they're in a great position with this new resort.
Yeah, it is. It's good. It's just the best thing they've done in a while. So,
now, do the pools have water slides or anything?
No.
Okay, I didn't. That's what I thought. So, why is it that they're restricting pool access the same way they're doing for, say, like the Beach Club Resort?
Well,
still unique items to the pool.
Yeah, I mean the Nemo pool is the largest pool on property. It's larger than Stormalong Bay by 12 feet, if that matters. And I know that that underwater at specific, you know, times, from time to time, you'll hear like characters from Finding Nemo. So that appeals to people, and it's got like some water splash areas for kids. So it's just a really well done pool, and they're all saltwater filtration pools as well. So there's no chlorine in the water, which is different. So it's environmentally, it's a very green resort, and that's one of their features is a saltwater filtration. So you don't have that chlorine smell by the pool. But yeah, I think they just realized the demand of guests staying there, and so yeah, they fenced it in.
So what is it doing? Thousands of kids are peeing in the pool.
that just adds to the salt water.
Right. That's awful.
Yeah, I just stay out of the warm spots. I don't know. I you know.
I'll throw this question out there. Considering that that this is presumably taking away from some of the popularity of places like All Star or Pop Century, do you guys think that in time the rest of Pop Century will be changed over to these? And to be more like the animation suites, where maybe not necessarily suites, but you'd have a specific theme for a specific building based on a specific movie, like they've done with these, as opposed to like the decades like you have over at Pop.
I don't see them really having to do it. You know, they've taken basically the most popular, you know, a handful of popular movies. They've got other Disney movies represented over at All Star Movies, so I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't either. What I would like to see happen at those resorts and other resorts are some of the features that you see at Art of Animation, like an expanded food court at the Value Resorts. I would love to see that. Or the way the check-in booths are set up at Art of Animation, they're almost like checkout lanes, individual checkout lanes at a supermarket. You don't have one big, solid, you know, reservation desk, check-in desk. So it allows, you know, cast members to interact better with guests, and I kind of like that. I thought it was more open and a great feature. But yeah, I don't see the need to retheme it based on a Disney movie. I think the theme works, and I think Pop is still wildly popular for people that can't get into Art of Animation or don't want Art of Animation.
Do you see the Pop and especially the All Stars as substantially more tacky than the way that Art of Animation has been done? I mean, because I certainly do.
You know, I have to admit, I do. And I think tacky is the wrong word. I mean, the theming at the All-Stars in particular is very in-your-face. The colors are totally primary colors.
Obnoxious?
In-your-face
is a good description, yeah.
I don't want to call it obnoxious because, you know, you have a lot of people who stay there and they love those places and they're only there to put their heads on the pillow at night and they don't really care. But it is, you know, I mean, it's not pleasing to the eye, not to me. But I found that Art of Animation seemed a little more easier on the eyes.
Yeah, so. I'd agree with that. But to me, like, what's done at All Stars especially, but Pop Century as well, with just the gigantic things outside the window, it's a lot like the hat in Hollywood Studios, not to completely derail us, but it's things that, all right, let's just make a gigantic version of something and call that theming. That's not what Disney has traditionally done for theming, and I recognize that these are value resorts, and you're not going to have, you know, intricate details like you would over at Grand Floridian or the Poly or anything like that, but at the same time, you know, a gigantic Pongo the dog, is that really theming, or is that a Macy's float? I mean
that's a really good point. I think you have to be really careful though too, because I think a lot of times as adult Disney fans we sort of miss the point, which is that this is for kids. I mean, you know, kids might like, no seriously, like my children, and I'll give you a good example. We stayed at Boardwalk Villas for a week, but the night before that we actually stayed at we stayed one night at All Star Movies, and the kids talked about movies. They didn't talk about Boardwalk. They're like, yeah, this is nice, but right. But Boardwalk was where, you know, or movies was exciting to them because, you know, it's for kids. As an adult, you know, I basically, when I stay there, my whole point is I'm in the parks all day and I'm just going to be there to sleep.
Well, if you get a kid a choice, they're going to choose a value resort.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I will say that King Triton statue at Art of Animation in the Little Mermaid section is – the eyes are just really creepy. It looks like it's leering. It does. It looks like it's staring. The way the head is tilted, it looks like it's staring right into a room.
Staring. It's looking inside your soul, Bob.
I don't know. I could just imagine, you know, being in the room and, like, laying in bed. You know, you're a little kid and, like, you know, the blinds are open and, you know, there's King Triton staring at you through the window. You know, I think I would have to change rooms, you know. You know, King Triton is making me uncomfortable. I need a different room. But, yeah.
King Triton's gawking at me.
Right, exactly. You know, the king of the seas, the king of the ocean is making me uncomfortable. So that the eyes on that one are a little weird over the top. But overall, no, I think they did a much better job with theming everything. And the theming carries over at Art of Animation in the hallways and in the lighting and, you know, the bedspreads. They really did an excellent job there. But, you know, I guess you learn as you go, you know?
Yeah. No, I think it definitely looks better than the other two value resorts. And I don't think it's even particularly close. I think they, as you said, they learned from what they did previously.
So, Jennifer, keep trying. I mean, maybe you'll get lucky. Maybe somebody will cancel and open up. But there's just a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of those non-suite rooms to begin with, and the popularity of them is overwhelming. And the fall is a really good time of year for people to go with, you know, not so scary Halloween and food and wine and all those events going on, so that kind of adds to the crowds too. So,
a lot of times you can go ahead and find things opening up right before the 45-day mark because people are going to be canceling those packages. So just sort of count back and try that.
Right. That's a good idea.
I think we cut this answer down to 12 minutes compared to the 30-minute one.
Awesome.
For the first one.
Yeah,
that's 13.
We're making progress. keep it moving.
Okay,
all
here
right.
We go. The next one is from Hayden. I want to know if you would recommend staying in a cabin at Disney's Fort Wilderness Campground.
No. Next.
No.
Here we go.
Yes,
next one from Christine.
No.
Hold on. I have heard that the campground is so big it is hard to get around, and even to get to the buses and boat launch takes 30 minutes alone. We are traveling with 3 kids under 6 years old, and the quicker the better.
For them, I would say no. We actually stayed there, and the thing I liked, because I actually was staying there with 3 kids under 6-year-old, too, at one point.
Yours or just some you kidnapped?
It's just some I kidnapped. No, my own children. And
that was nice of you taking them to Disney.
Yeah, and once in a while, you know. At about 3 in the morning, my first thought was, I am so glad I'm not in a hotel room, because my twins decided not to sleep, and they decided to scream all night the first night. And it was awesome, because we didn't have to worry about waking anybody up. Having said that, I would never stay there without my own car. I think the golf cart thing only mitigates the transportation problem just a tiny bit. So if you're going to have your own car, by all means, go to Fort Wilderness. Otherwise, with 3 little kids, I wouldn't do it. Because you have that internal bus that takes you to another bus, and that's a huge pain.
Right. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty accurate answer, a very accurate answer is yeah, if you have your own transportation, terrific. I mean, having the space in the cabins with 3 kids, awesome, but trying to navigate it without it.
Ugh. On the other hand, if your kids are really loud, just do it. Just stay there. Because, you know, it is nice to have that option. I mean, because I don't know if any parent who's ever stayed in a hotel room and their kid decides to cry all night, like if you have a baby. I mean, my twins were infants at the time. You know, I mean, it was a relief. So
I'm disappointed I don't have the drop from Up where Russell says, that must be like a million transfers.
Well, you're slipping, Tim.
Well, and the other thing, too, the other thing that people always forget until they book Fort Wilderness is that if you want a resort or a hotel experience, you're not getting a hotel experience there. You're getting a cabin experience. And you go outside and there's squirrels and things like that.
Squirrel.
I mean, you know, it's not
squirrel. I did that today.
I think I do have that.
Looks at me like, I do that whenever I see a squirrel.
Squirrel!
They think I'm just crazy.
Oh yeah.
Well, and that's so fitting for this show because, like, we get distracted.
Very distracted.
Easily.
Yeah. But
okay.
No, so yeah. Hayden, yeah, I would say we're in agreement. Bad idea.
Looks it's not a bad though. Idea.
Well, it's a great place to stay.
If you don't have your own transportation and you didn't say, and it doesn't sound like you do.
It doesn't sound like it.
It doesn't. Yeah. Then I would say stay away.
And here's the kicker. The golf cart rentals are actually slightly more than a car rental. So you'd actually be better off.
I never
off.
Looked at it that way.
They are.
ETV rentals are more expensive than a car rental.
And yeah, you can get deals on the car rentals.
Yes.
How the hell do camping rednecks afford those rental fees?
Oh, because, well, first of all, they're not rednecks staying there. They're not rednecks because, you know, really those cabins are about $250, $300 a night. They're very expensive. So, I mean, I guess you could be a redneck with a lot of money. But...
Well, they have money, too.
We don't
exactly.
judge. No.
Yeah.
All right, Hayden, here's my recommendation. You stay at the cabins, and you put your kids in the best friend's pet care.
Oh.
Just follow up on the way to the park.
Totally unnecessary.
I'd like to point out, that was a fanboy.
www.fanboyfret@wfanboys.com.
Yes.
Fanboy Tom.
Yeah.
I will add one other benefit of the cabins. If your kids are used to eating like a very specific diet or they're picky eaters or whatever, you can feed them just like you do at home. So, I mean, that is because it is a full kitchen. I mean, the kitchen's actually bigger than the one that my husband and I had in our first house. So, you know, it's a full size
yard. Say, go catch something.
Yes. And there's a grill outside.
Of course,
cook it themselves.
Not inside, because a grill inside is a very bad idea.
Well, you could use it once.
I know. Marshmallows on the burning wood.
Okay. I think we'd wrap that one up. Are we doing good, minutes. Lisa?
Next one is from Christine, and Christine asks, how can I take advantage of the D23 membership my husband got me for my birthday?
Don't do it.
Move to California.
Take advantage quickly.
Wow, we have a couple of opinions.
We have
jump in on those.
Okay, so I think you can take advantage of it by enjoying the lovely magazine that's printed on high quality paper with bright colors, and that's about it, right? I mean, otherwise, you know, you have to have a ton of money to go to any of these events. Most of them are in California, and
have you done any of the events?
Have I done any?
Yes.
No, I think I want to go to the expo next August, though, and I'll tell you why. Because I think it's their swan song. I think they're going down.
It very well may be the last expo, but yeah. I also expect them. I was at the expo in 2011, and there were a lot of disappointed people leaving the Parks and Resorts presentation because Disney forgot to make any announcements. And what happened there, like, I had a blast at the expo. I thought it was a lot of fun. I plan on going back in 2013. The problem was, though, that it was so difficult to get into anything. I had a press pass, and I still had difficulty getting into things.
Limited capacity into events. Okay, so that too, was
absolutely
an issue. And then,
and they're addressing that, though. They have addressed that. They're going to expand the arena presentations. They're going to have a 2,000-seat overflow area as well, which would basically up the capacity of the arena presentations by a good 40%, which is pretty substantial. It's still going to have, you're still going to have people that are upset about it, but it's better than them doing nothing.
It was. But then, like Chris said, we still have, I mean, a lot of these events, basically to really take advantage of D23 events, and a lot of them sound cool. They're held in California or they're held at Walt Disney World, and they all cost money. So first you have to get there, you know, and then, you know, hope that you can get a ticket and
move to California. That's how you take advantage of it. Your $75 a year membership.
I want to like D23. I just don't. There's something about it that's not working for me.
And what's not working is it's limiting. It's limiting to people that live primarily in California.
Well, but here's the other issue. It's too corporate. And I love Disney, and you know I am the person with rose-colored glasses. But what I like are seeing people doing kind of individual things, and groups of bloggers and people who write about Disney and who podcasters, people who talk about Disney. To me, that always seems more genuine and more, I don't know, just sort of more innovative than what a corporation can put out within the confines of what they're allowed to do. So I think for me, that's the problem with D23.
I think the magazine, the quality of it, as Chris mentioned earlier,
is
very high quality. But at the same time, magazines are a dying medium. And this is something that's released quarterly. You're not going to get any new information out of it. You're going to get good historical articles. I'd say I probably read about 50% of it. I don't read all of it. Who is a D23 member on the call?
Me.
I was until recently.
I don't know if I am or was.
Okay.
Because I'm not that involved in it. I know
the most recent magazine came in this week, and I know Brett, you haven't been to California Adventure, but Chris and Lisa, I believe you've both been. Well, Chris, you said you've been fairly recently,
and I was there. Yeah.
Okay.
And
so
we've all been. Yeah.
California Adventure, they changed the entrance to that because the original theme was to look like a postcard. And on the most recent episode or issue of the D23 magazine, they send you a magazine with Cars Land on the cover, and the free gift is a postcard, which I just found incredibly stupid. It was a postcard magnet, but it was a postcard that looked like what they were trying to eliminate from the front of that park. And the focus of the magazine was all the changes to California Adventure. I didn't get it. Seems like a poor choice. Now, these are like, you know, $2 gifts that they give you in addition to the magazine. It's not anything substantial, but I thought it was an odd choice. I did participate in the, not the Destination D, the Fanniversary event, which was a pretty cool event, and it was under $20, and that was the really one event that has been kind of roaming around the country. I went to one at the Boston Museum of Fine Arts, and it was a presentation from, I'm forgetting her name, but she runs the Disney Archives, and then former Disney geek Jeffrey Epstein. They were just sharing some stuff from the archives, and it was a pretty well done event. And you know, for $20, was well worth it to me. If they can do more things like that, if they do that on an annual basis, then I can see getting value there. And if you're going to the D23 Expo, I can see getting value there. But if you're not going to do either of those things, the real value comes in being in California and maybe the times that they open up the Mickey's at Glendale shop for D23 members, or the times they open up the Disney Archives for D23 members, those are the events that would really interest someone. But you need to be in the right place at the right time or live near Disneyland. Otherwise, there's not really a benefit to it. Hmm. You can go to, you know, your local bookstore if they still exist and just buy the magazine.
Yeah, the only reason I got mine is so I could get into Epcot's 30th.
Yeah, there you
and
go.
It was a phenomenal deal when I had gotten it. It was less than $25, and I had gotten a $25 gift card for Father's Day. So I figured.
So, yeah.
Were you able to get the seating or the admission that you wanted for that, for the 30th?
Oh, yeah, because okay. I planned on getting the basic admission, and as my luck usually works for me when I'm at the parks, I will make my way into the more enhanced area.
You laugh, it's true.
I don't know if you guys saw any of our information about the Magic Kingdom's 40th, but like Lou Mangiello was there. And I remember, you know, he's with his whole entourage. And he, as he's walking by, I could hear him, you know, he's trying to make it sound like he was kidding, but he was deadly serious. He wanted to get in before everybody else. And the bottom line is the only people that were getting in first were the people either with wristbands for membership, I'm guessing those are D23 members, or people with dining reservations. And I had neither, and I made it in. I just sort of walked in with the crowd. And it's funny because if you watch his video, I was in there for about 20 minutes, and then he comes in, and when he turns to look down the street, there's all the way to the castle, the street is empty except for two cast member photographers and me. And
nice.
Like, he walked by, and I followed him for a little ways off to the side. You couldn't see me, and I waited for what I thought he was taking a break. So I started to talk to him a little bit. And, you know, he was talking back and forth with me a little. And then by the time I was done talking, I realized that we had actually passed the ropes that the average person wasn't allowed to go past. And one of his entourage slapped an access badge on me. So I just went in to all the VIP interviews and just stood in the back and watched and, you know, took a couple of videos, but, you know, really kept to myself because I didn't want anyone to say, you know, hey, are you supposed to be here? And after all the interviews were done, it was funny because all of the interviewees were looking around the room because they had already talked with everybody and they saw me standing there, and they all one by one came up to me and started talking to me because I was the only one they hadn't talked to. So
So, Christy, it sounds like you need to take advantage of your D23, or Christine, to take advantage of your D23 membership. You need to come down to Walt Disney World and hang out with Brett.
Or Lou Mangiello.
Or Lou Mangiello, yeah.
Well, Brett was in 20 minutes before Lou.
Well, that was my thing, too. I mentioned to Lou, without rubbing his face in it too much, that with all of his connections, why was it that I got into the park 20 minutes before he did when I heard him trying to get in before everyone else? And he obviously didn't like that because he doesn't talk to me anymore.
Well, you didn't mean to talk down to him, but he's like a foot shorter than everybody.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh,
going to happen because you weren't standing in an 18-inch hole.
Yeah. He didn't like it, too, when I put my hand to my stomach and said, I've had it up to here with you.
That's so wrong.
Ouch. Oh, my. That's
next guest or next listener question. Oh, my. Next one is from Christy, and she would like to know, can I take an alcoholic drink from a resort onto the monorail?
Yes. As long as you're not staggering. I mean, seriously, they're not going to know if it's – right, if they don't know if it's alcoholic or not. I mean, obviously, you can't bring it into the Magic Kingdom, but, you know, if you're staying at the Grand Floridian, you're going from the Poly to the Grand Floridian, well, you should walk because it's a short path. But if you're not, you can get on the monorail.
I mean, if you're bringing, like, a Lapu-Lapu and a giant pineapple, you don't think they're going to stop you?
I don't think they're going to stop you.
I think a bottle of Grey Goose with a straw, they might say, hold on.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, if they didn't stop the, I mean, some of the T-shirts that I've seen people walk through the parks with, and they don't stop those people, I don't think they're going to have any problem with your mixed
Just
drink.
Try it and email us back and let us know if you end up in the Disney jail.
which would be cool in itself. I mean,
yes,
honestly.
If you did, please take pictures if they don't confiscate your phone.
No, I think you'll be okay, but I don't know. Maybe we'll have to. We'll have to try. You know, I mean, if they try to stop me, I'll get all righteous and indignatious with them and, you know, start spouting law at them and, you know.
Not you.
Yeah. Yes, me. You know.
Unheard of.
Yes. Educate Disney on the law. I bet they'd love to hear that.
Right. Well, they already have a file on me, so, you know. Yeah, pretty sure.
There's no question. There's no pretty sure. There's...
it's more than, yeah, it's more than a sure thing. Yeah, they do have a file on me.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to add another, you know, a couple of pages to it. Not a big deal. So,
nice.
Noted.
Okay. I'm going to go to the next one.
Okay.
This is from Lisa, and she writes, if you were taking a 4-year-old girl on her first trip to Walt Disney World, which dinner would you take her to? 1900 Park Fair at the Grand Floridian or Cinderella's Royal Table at the castle?
Can I just answer this?
Castle.
I would not do the castle, and here's why. Because it's 2 credits, and it's too much money for what you get.
And it's a 4-year-old girl.
Right. I think it really depends on what you want. Because if she really wants to see multiple princesses, take her to Acre Shoes. It's really good food. It's half
nobody
the price.
Knows about that, too.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, nobody knows about 1900 Park Fair. 1900 Park Fair is kind of, for dinner, is kind of a little hidden gem. And it's actually really very clever. They have Cinderella, Prince Charming, and the stepsisters and Madame Tremaine. And they're very campy and funny. So it's entertaining for everyone, as opposed to, like, you know, just very quick visits from the princesses, which you can get your, you can see all your princesses at the meet and greet. So, you know.
Right. I should make some strawberry soup for you guys.
Yes.
Brett knows what you're talking
about. I tried making it, and it was awful.
Say that again, Tim? I made strawberry soup, too.
Oh, strawberry
soup. Was it good?
Well, when I made it, no.
Yes.
Well, I mean, what's in it besides strawberries?
It's just, well, there's like orange juice and pineapple juice, but there's, it's just a slushy in a bowl, and you're with a spoon. Don't.
It's a smoothie.
So I always think that people make the mistake of doing that two-credit meal at Cinderella's Royal Table when they could actually go eat somewhere like Citrico's or Narcoosie's or Brown Derby, which is so much better. And, Bob, you will notice I did not mention California Grill as being better. So.
Yes.
I'm checking that out for the first time.
Okay. I'm going to have to keep us moving because we're at an hour. So keep going. I'm sorry.
I know. We finally started talking about food.
So, yeah, I mean, Cinderella's Royal Table, I think we're in agreement, Lisa, to skip it and try the other ones.
Yeah.
Do you know what? That's
just enjoy Park Fair, I think.
Yeah, or Akershus, like Chris said.
Yeah.
Well, and Cinderella's Royal Table almost is for the mom, because the mom's going to know she's in the castle. The four-year-old's just going to be like, oh, you know, this is nice.
Right.
So.
But definitely check into the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique as well. Get her all dressed up, because I think that is kind of special. If you're going to go see Cinderella and some of the princesses, whether it's 1900 or the castle, if that's the way you go, or at Akershus, then dress her up. I like it. Okay, next one is from Kevin. Is there a promotional DVD or something a family can watch together in order to choose their Disney vacation plan together?
Yes, next question.
I like that. Yes, there is. Call your travel agent and they'll send one out to you.
Yeah, I actually think somebody on, when this was posted on our Mouse Chat Facebook page, somebody did answer them. But yes, if you go on the Walt Disney World website, and by the way, Disney Cruise Line has one and Disneyland has one as well, and I think Adventures by Disney has one too, you can go on the site and request the promotional DVD and they'll send it to you. One added benefit too, sometimes on occasion, and it's completely random, but sometimes requesting those videos will get you like a discount pin code.
Yep.
Sometimes, so.
Gotta love that.
So, yeah.
Can I just recommend an alternative? There's a set of DVDs. I can't remember how many. It's like four or five.
It's more than that, actually.
Do you know what I'm talking about? The Disney Parks DVD?
Yep.
That you can get from Amazon, and it's pretty inexpensive. And I actually was sent these to review, and they're actually really good. So
they're a little dated, but other than that.
Yeah, they're a tiny bit dated, but they're fun. And my kids watched that Animal Kingdom one until it wore out, practically.
Yeah.
We just have one of those sing-along Disney sing-along videos, and it is a VHS tape.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that are under the age of 30, that's the same concept of as a DVD.
It's like a big coaster.
Yeah, we had that conversation earlier. But we had that playing, and our little one, Brooke, who's 2.5, sees the teacups and in the video, and she literally, Disney World, Disney World! And she goes to the front door and says, Miko, Disney World! And she starts walking out the door. And I'm like, hello?
Was she going south?
Well, no, she didn't make it past the driveway, so I don't know which way she was going.
Run out and face her in the right direction, then go back inside.
To elaborate on what Chris said about this, if you go to Amazon and search for Disney Parks DVD, I recommend doing it through the sidebar link on www.fanboys.com, by the way, because we get a kick. Anyway, go with the DVD version, not the Blu-ray version, because the Blu-ray version does not have everything. There's, I think, one or two that isn't included in the Blu-ray version that are in the DVD version, so you'll get a little bit lower quality in terms of picture quality, but you'll get more content. So, and the other thing is they sell DVDs in park that are awful. That are, I don't know if you, I know, Brett, I think you'd seen seen one of them. They're beyond awful. They're not a thorough review of the parks. It's just a way to get $15 to $20. These Disney Parks things that Chris recommended are so much better. The free DVD you get, so much better.
I've mentioned dozens of times on our show that Disney is failing miserably not to take advantage of making just even just walkthroughs of their parks and their resorts, of everything they have, and then selling them, because I can't count, myself included, but how many people who return from Disney and would love to get their hands on something like that just to remember everything they just did, or even in anticipation of an upcoming trip to Disney to have those DVDs. And then, of course, if they want to include the attractions in them as well, because every year I get that DVD promotional for, because it's free, but I get one every year, mainly so we put on Animal Kingdom, and when the Yeti comes through, I can yell at the screen, "You lie!"
You don't move. You haven't moved in years.
Well, another alternative, if you just want to be really cheap, is to go to YouTube and put in the name of any attraction. And there are also people who do walk-around tours. Yeah. So, you know, you'll have someone with just a camera walking through Fantasyland or whatever.
Right.
There's plenty of content out there.
Yeah, there's tons.
Last DVD I'll mention is the Modern Marvels, which is also available on Amazon.
Fantastic.
If you want to hear about Mark Sumner's Erector Set, you can get that. It's in like every one of the Disney
things. That is not like a double entendre either. That is
really that's how he made Soarin'.
Yep. Yeah. But that's another thing. You know, $20 on Amazon, and so the only problem is like the Modern Marvels is 5 or 6 years old. The Disney Parks ones that we're talking about are 2 or 3 years old. So you're not going to see details on like new Star Tours, really new Fantasyland. But beyond
Avatar
that,
land in it.
Yeah, no World of Avatar land. 20 years from now when they update it and finally build that, then, you know. But there are DVDs out there. And
no Fifth Gate.
And YouTube is a great source as well.
Okay, I'm going to jump in, and we're going to have our last question. And this one's really going to get you guys going.
Did you do this on purpose? Save it for last?
No, I'm just going in order, but Rhonda wants to know some things.
So we're helping Rhonda.
Yes, help her, Rhonda.
Did you see what I did there? Because it's a song.
I tried to work off it, but it didn't work.
That was clever, Tim. A little less clever, Lisa. Yeah.
I'm wondering how you know that song, Tim.
I saw it on those circular things.
Oh.
They're big and black. Get your mind out of the gutter, Brett.
Rapper tools?
Yes.
Okay, Rhonda writes, I am having a hard time trying to book the Tomorrowland Terrace Fireworks Dessert Party for November 28th. I guess you can't book online, as it gives me no availability at all any day. When I call in, I am told that they are not taking reservations yet, but every time I am given a different date to try back. I am trying to find the window of availability before it is sold out. Any advice for me?
I'll book it for you.
I would sure appreciate it. This is a birthday present for my niece. And could you tell me if I stand a chance of seeing the new Fantasyland expansion on November 28th? It says general previews beginning November 19th. Does this mean that it will be open? Or only two season pass holders? How will this work?
You need to be a member of the armed forces above the level of general, and then you can see it.
So the way I think everybody sort of has taken this to mean is that on the 19th, everyone can see the previews, but before the 19th, it's pass holders and DVC owners are getting previews. So that means you have to buy DVC right now.
or an AP and hope that you can get into the limited preview when that's announced. No,
the fact that they put limited on there has got me so agitated.
With the Fantasyland previews, they begin November 19th, meaning it will open on that day, but because it's kind of like a soft opening, attractions may open and close at a moment's notice.
You may be on the attraction and they're going to throw you off. So don't get comfortable.
Things can break down. Things can open late or close early because they're working out the kinks. It's kind of a test run before their big opening. But yes, you will be able to see everything within the new Fantasyland if you're there on the 28th.
Except for the Mine Train Ride
and the Royal Court, which is coming next year. As for the Tomorrowland Terrace fireworks dessert party, despite what Tim says, I can't book that for you unless, unless of course, A, you're my client, or B, you stand in line on New Year's Eve for 5 hours holding a spot for me to see Illumination's special New Year's Eve show, which is what Tim did for me. So I owe him one. The fireworks dessert party, I don't have much luck with this. You can't book it online, to my knowledge. You do have to call in. And I don't think the cast members even really have much information as to when it will open up, which is why every time you call, somebody gives you a different day. I don't know, Chris.
So how do you actually get her booked?
Keep calling.
It's one of those trial and error things.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. I mean, I mean, I wish we could tell you that we have some secret travel agent tricks or special hotlines or something, or we have a secret date or date ranges.
Secret stash of availability.
It does not work that way. Unfortunately, no. It is. I mean, we are given the same information and we get the same thing cast members are telling you, they're telling us. So, you know, they're telling you, oh, call back in September, call back, you know, in October. They tell us the exact same thing because they don't know. And one day you call in and suddenly there's availability.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the way it works. I mean, is it a great system? No, it's a terrible system. Would it be easier if it was available online and, you know, beginning 90 days out or whatever, you could begin booking? Absolutely. It just hasn't caught up to that yet.
That would be way too logical.
Yeah. So
you could you could say that you're like that you know Bob Iger, or that, like, you know, he's your brother, and maybe you can get away with that.
Hang up on you. I don't know. You know.
So you know John Lasseter then.
Yeah, there you go. John Lasseter will get you to the front of the line. You know, if you say like you know Meg Crofton, they'll feel like, okay, yeah, click.
Throw you out.
Video call with them, wear a Hawaiian shirt, and say you know John Lasseter.
Yeah, he was your Jungle Cruise skipper back in the, you know, yeah, back in the 70s at Disneyland. So, unfortunately, Rhonda, I wish there was some better way to, you know, tell you. I mean, am I off the mark here? I'm not, right? I mean,
there are a lot of things like that. Like, a lot of times you'll call the 180-day mark and there are certain restaurants in Epcot that never show up. They're never loaded. And so you have to call back a week later, and you never know when they're going to show up. And, you know, some of it's just sort of a gamble. You have to be persistent.
Yeah.
Or you can just save that $35, go buy yourself a cupcake at Main Street Bakery, and go get a better spot, because really those seats aren't that great. And the food isn't that great. So
more than likely, you're going to have planters still there.
Yeah.
That's because they love those planners.
Oh, yeah.
Planners are awesome.
I would agree. Chris makes a very good point. I don't particularly care for the view from the fireworks, you know, from the Tomorrowland Terrace for viewing the fireworks. I don't think it's the best spot. I think there are better spots to see, to catch the fireworks. And the desserts are okay, but I don't know if they're worth the $35.
It's not the same as doing like a dessert party in Epcot for Illuminations, where you're going to be sitting in this great area. You're going to be getting a great view, much better than everyone else. You know, I mean, it's just not quite the same, and it's not, I don't know, it's not really worth the money,
it's,
I think.
It's their attempt to match that and make
a little
bit extra money.
But they've got so many other places that they could do it. They could take them out, I don't know.
It's coming with Next Gen. They're building risers. I'm not even exaggerating. That's one of the things they've thrown around, like putting it in the Rose Garden.
I've actually heard,
I was going to say
the
Rose Garden, but I thought that would be too obnoxious, but...
obnoxious is climbing on the partner statue and using that as a viewing spot, which...
It's a good idea. Done. Elevated position.
Yeah. For me, the sweet spot for watching Wishes is between Casey's and the ice cream store right there on Main Street, and I don't even bother waiting an hour anymore, because I found that, you know, 5 minutes before showtime, everybody crowds into the middle of Main Street all at once, and just, you know, you've now been sitting on the cement for an hour, and people, you know, just take your view. So I just show up literally 5 minutes before showtime. I walk right up, find my spot within the crowd, and watch. And to me, that's a great location, and I'd rather have the $35 for, you know, a sit-down meal somewhere, you know, or, you know, something in the gift shop.
Maybe you could spend it at the Plaza.
11
Boulder. Yeah, because that's a favorite. I'll get another Plaza hamburger. You know, and whatever's left over, I'll eat at Tony's. You know, that's another fine dining establishment that in the Magic Kingdom. You know.
Well, it'll actually go. Magic Memories and You is going away September 2nd or 3rd, so I don't know necessarily if the show will be. They're moving the projectors. They're probably going to change up, but there's still going to be some elements of that show still existing.
Oh, that's too bad because it really grew on me. You know, the first couple times I was like, eh. But
I think something else is going to come back. It's not that they're going to get rid of that pre-show.
Oh, okay. So it'll just be like a different show. Oh, that's fine. Because it was awesome. It's really just gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is going away temporarily. That's true. But yeah. So Rhonda, I mean, if you're set on doing the Tomorrowland fireworks dessert party, just keep calling back. That's all you can do. And hopefully the next time you call, there will be availability. I'm sure. You know, if you keep calling, it's not going to sell out. And but you know, like we said, I think you can hold on to the money, and there's better spots to see the show.
This is a good reason why you have a travel agent, because if you have a travel agent, you just put your travel agent on this. Mm-hmm. Shameless plug.
I saw that. I'm gonna hit another shameless plug in just a second, because I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show right here.
Okay.
I'm going to thank pixievacations.com for sponsoring the podcast. If you like our shows, you can go to mousechat.net, and you can get them at iTunes as well. Go ahead and send us more of your comments and questions. Send those to comments@mousechat.net. And we would like to thank Tim and Brett from Fanboys. Brett, why don't you tell us about Fanboys?
Yes, we are from www.fanboys.com. We have a podcast and blog posts as well. Our podcast is every week. We tend to talk about pretty much everything Disney. We don't really pull any punches. We're not mean or Disney bashers, but we call it like we see it, and we hold Disney accountable for the things that they should be doing, as well as we praise them for the things they have done.
Well, thank you for joining us, and we hope to have you on a show in the future.
Definitely. I must say, while this is the only show of yours that I've listened to, it's definitely by far the best one.
I have to agree. Wonder why that would be.
I don't know.
This is the best show we've had with you on it, Brett.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. I'll
Pretty
agree.
Cool. All right. Well, please join us again here next time on Mouse Chat.